DBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A senior Ukrainian official has confirmed that Ukraine has used American-made missiles to strike inside Russia for the first time. That as Vladimir Putin updates Russia's military doctrine to say it can use nuclear weapons in response to attacks from Ukraine. This week, marking 1,000 days since the Russian invasion of the country began, President Volodymyr Zelensky thanking the European Parliament for its support.
Even with North Korea's Kim Jong-un, but by his side, Putin remains smaller than the United States of Europe.
Prosecutors in New York are expected to propose the next steps in Donald Trump's New York hush money case today. Trump was convicted of 34 felonies earlier this year, but the recent Supreme Court case on presidential immunity raises questions about sentencing. The president-elect reportedly calling senators in recent days, trying to sell them on his pick for attorney general, former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Measles cases are picking up both worldwide and here in the United States. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
The CDC and World Health Organization are warning against spiking levels of measles worldwide as well as here in the U.S. The largely preventable and highly contagious disease has had 266 confirmed cases in the U.S. so far this year. Last year, worldwide, there was a 60% increase in measles cases as misinformation about vaccine safety led to declines in vaccination rates. In the U.S., vaccination rates fell to 92.7% for the 2023-24 school year among kindergartners. Over 100,000 people, mostly children, died last year from measles worldwide. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
One case of measles has been confirmed in Wisconsin this year. It was in Dane County on April 26th. For more information, you can visit the Wisconsin DHS website. Jesse Vang pleaded not guilty Monday to charges related to the death of 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Vang was caring for the toddler when he reported him as missing in February. Elijah's remains were found in September. Vang is charged with physical abuse of a child, repeated acts causing death, hiding a corpse, and obstruction. Prosecutors have until February 7th to offer him any plea deal. His next court appearance is scheduled for March 13th. Elijah's mother, Katrina Bauer, is also charged in the case. Former Wisconsin Assembly Minority Leader Gordon Hintz announced Monday that he's running for Winnebago County Executive. Hintz served 16 years in the Wisconsin State Assembly, ending in 2023. He currently serves as the director for the Wisconsin Laborers Employers Cooperation. He joins incumbent John DeMel and Winnebago County Sheriff John Matz on the ballot. The election will be held in April of 2025. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.FM.
The Bucks beat the Rockets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks pulled out a 101-100 win over the Rockets last night in Milwaukee. It snapped a 5-game winning streak for Houston. Damian Lillard with the winning shot. Doc Rivers says Lillard reminds him of Ray Allen.
Well, Dame just has great courage. You know, reminds me a lot of Ray Allen. In that way, Ray didn't have a lot of bad shooting nights, but when he had one, if you had one shot to make, you still wanted to go to him. And that's how you feel about Day.
The Bucks host the Chicago Bulls tomorrow night. Men's college basketball, number 19th ranked Badgers, held on to win over Texas Rio Grande Valley, 87-84. Wisconsin remains undefeated at 5-0. College football, the Badgers head to Lincoln to play Nebraska this Saturday at 2:30. Luke Fickle on his decision to fire offensive coordinator Phil Longo.
Just so you know, on Sunday, I had made a decision to what we needed to do, and then came in, obviously had a conversation with Phil, and pretty much decided that we needed to do it now.
That's the Badgers' Luke Fickle with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy and drizzly with scattered showers this morning. It's also going to be kind of windy today with a high of 58 this afternoon. Tonight, 38. Tomorrow, some rain showers, then light snow showers with a high right around 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
No matter how you say it, Berenson's Candies in Green Bay has been synonymous with Christmas tradition since 1925. That means a trip to Green Bay without Berenson's Candies could get you in a lot of trouble. Stock up on your favorites like Meltaways, Pecan Turtles, and Angel Food. When buying your candy this year, you better make it Berenson's. The Berenson's family wishes you a Merry Christmas season. Berenson's Candies, 200 North Broadway in Green Bay. The chocolate people dream of, no matter how you say it.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Kim Shevchik and the Doctors in Recital into the studio. Then Civic Media's own Melissa Kay joins me to talk about her new show, Community Stories. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, who's here with me every Tuesday. And we've been talking a little bit about, you know, the different realities of and complexities of what people in this nation face with, people who struggle on a daily basis. I live in a community, man, where I see the struggle firsthand every day. And I see children and families who, man, just eking out an existence and just trying to survive in the wealthiest nation on earth. And Sandy, it doesn't have to be that way, but, you know, it is, and it wasn't always that way.
Well, I think we've always had poor, and at one point we relied on charity, and then by the turn of the last century, I think they realized that charity couldn't fill the bill, and the streets, the cities were suffering because of poverty and poverty that was not handled. And it wasn't until the period of Medicaid and Medicare when we began to solve the health problems so that we didn't simply have people sick and ill on the streets spreading illness. The charity wasn't enough to pick up that slack. There was a realization that health care was being delivered through the job, and so when you retired from your job at age 65, you needed health care, and so that was the advent of Medicare as well. So these were realities that our society addressed. One of the things, the caller before the break, Gary from Sussex, was talking about how it was that he thought that we shouldn't tax the wealthy because it was the wealthy that had provided him with the job early in his career that allowed him to learn the skill that allowed him to start his own business himself. And he identified 1973 as when that was. I would simply point out that in 1973, the marginal tax rate on individuals was well in excess of 70%. And the corporate tax was in excess of 39%. Today's marginal tax rate is in the low 40s for individuals, and right now the corporate tax rate is 21%. So it wasn't necessary to have a tax structure that was necessarily as lean and going to be leaner than it is today in order to provide benefits to society that Gary was describing as some kind of trickle-down that would allow him to receive a benefit because he got a job from a wealthy person who owned a business. There was plenty of wealth and plenty of opportunity in the 1970s in a tax environment that was far different than ours. But we've sort of adopted this theory. We've drunk the Kool-Aid that taxes have to keep going down in order to have a vibrant economy that provides jobs to people, when in fact the tax structure right now is as low as it's ever been, okay? As low as it's ever been.
So, Sandy, it's not coincidental then to say that the advent of the debt that our nation has taken on since those rates have been adjusted, those tax rates, a part of the reason that we're dealing with the deficits that we're dealing with.
Oh, sure. I mean, Bill Clinton had surpluses, and we had surpluses until the George Bush II administration when we carried out a big war in Iraq and cut taxes materially, and suddenly we had a huge deficit resulting from that. He then had a financial collapse at the end of his watch, whether that was the government's fault or not. Obama realized a situation in which we were at a near depression level of financial recession, which required the government to, on an emergency basis, expend money on a deficit basis to support an economy and to create a revival. But we've had deficits ever since. We had deficits during the Trump administration when we had a vibrant economy, according to him, and we also had a tax reduction at the same time as a vibrant economy. So, you know, there's now groups that have been formed to try and create fiscal responsibility who point out the irresponsibility of reducing revenue at the same time that you're increasing deficits during a financial boom, because when the recession hits, you've shot your powder. You didn't keep your powder dry for the time when you actually need it.
So, Sandy, I'm not saying this to pump you up. I'm getting ready to say. But going back to Donald Trump's presidency, you and I were on the air, and you said there'll be an inherent danger if Donald Trump gives tax breaks while the economy is booming. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I remember that. That's 7 years ago, maybe. But you were projecting it then.
Well, that's the problem. And when you have deficits during a boom, you should realize that you're shooting your powder off. You should keep it dry during the boom period, because there will
when you need it.
When you need it during a recession, you need to try and support the economy. You will have had deficits to the point where you no longer can suffer the deficits you need to suffer. And we're near at that point. And the recessions that were experienced during the beginning of the Biden administration were because of that kind of emergency. The COVID pandemic was a potential financial emergency. So some of the deficit that was expended during his period was clearly in response to that, and was the right time to use the powder. But we should keep our powder dry when we can.
Let's go to Rob from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Rob. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. I just wanted to add a few points. When Ronald Reagan took office, I think CEO pay was about 40 times the average worker. I haven't seen the numbers in a while, but the last time I had seen it, it was something like 400-1.
Yes.
And for the life of me, I don't understand how people can't understand what's going on here. They've cut your defined benefit plan. They're going to cut your other benefits. Your health insurance is going to go up. Where did they think this executive pay is coming from? It's coming out of the workers' pocket. I just don't understand how some of these people cannot put two and two together. And in years past, I used to work with people, you know, 20, 25 years ago from other countries, and they would say, your executive pay is out of control. We don't see anything like this in our country. So I think it's an area of American exceptionalism, is really bloated, out of control executive pay. The tax code in 86 is terrible in terms of lowering the rates, but then we also changed the notion of a dollar from investing or capital gains is different, you know, money for the sake of money rather than people making a living after actually providing a benefit to society, you know, making a product or a service and delivering it to a customer. That was a big thing. And then NAFTA, we've never recovered from it. So when Ross Perot said that giant sucking sound, that really killed their economy and ruined a lot of these cities. And unfortunately, that happened under Bill Clinton's watch. So,
well, you know, Robert, what you just did was spelled out a slippery slope that brought us to where we are now. You know, and so you can't point to one point in time. You know, this has been a cacophony of many different things all, you know, together that have brought us to this place, Sandy. Is it?
Yeah, and I think that the current situation involves, I think this is an outgrowth of American individualism, which is that part of going along with this individualism is aspirationalism. Americans, poor or in the middle class, all aspire to live the life of Elon Musk, okay? And so we don't have the same kind of social potentially friction because of the wealthy in our country, because for some reason they're our version of royalty. They're the vision of our personal aspirations. And Americans aren't embittered about the wealth that's accumulated by the wealthy. And we've sort of bought into the trickle-down notion that if we tax the wealthy, we'll be essentially ruining our own aspirations to become wealthy like them. We'll be making it more difficult. And we need to temper that. We need to get realistic about that, because the wealthy in this country owe it to this country to pay a fair share of the taxes. And however, because of the power that is derived from the kind of money they have continued to be able to persuade the American public that their taxes need to be lower, okay? And that just doesn't work on a perpetual basis.
You know what I don't understand about that, Sandy, is when you look at exactly how much money a Diane Hendricks will receive from that tax cut, it's peanuts compared to her wealth. So why are they so hell-bent on getting that tax break when it's minuscule? But it creates so much hardship for the other Americans. I don't understand
that.
Well,
I mean, it is true that the top 5% of income earners in this country pay a very significant percentage of the income tax. But that has a lot to do with the income disparity that has been created by the system we have. That wealth that they have obtained because they live in a country whose economic architecture has permitted them to obtain extreme wealth, okay? And we as Americans and they should not simply take all that for granted and assume that a government is actually the only impediment they have to, I guess, I don't know what, unlimited wealth. And you would think that patriotism would drive people in the direction of wanting to pay the taxes that support their country rather than the Donald Trump theory, which is that if the tax code lets you escape taxes altogether, only a fool would pay taxes. My view is that, no, only a patriot would pay taxes then.
All right, 855-752-4842. My Sandy Williams is my co-host. He's here every Tuesday and Friday. You two can join the conversation. We are going to get into immigration. Stay on the phone lines, guys, coming up next.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly obvious he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. It paid paradise, put up a parking lot. It took all the trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. You pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And you know, if you haven't heard, you know who Sandy Williams is, you know, and what he does and what he's done, you know, it's always great to have him on board because we can get into depth on a lot of different things. I've known Sandy now for about 7-8 years, and I'll tell you, I've learned so much about many things, especially about this government, about, you know, legal realities. And you can do the same thing just by listening to him every Tuesday and Friday on this show. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat, and I hope that we will take time in the coming weeks. Maybe Sandy can do a thing on the second economic bill of rights. This is where we should all be going. We should be looking at the right to a job, the right to earn enough to provide adequate food, clothing, and recreation. The right of every businessman, large and small, to trade in an atmosphere of freedom of unfair competition and domination by monopolies. The right of every family to have a decent home. The right to educate, or should, the right to adequate medical care. The right to adequate protection from the economic fears of old age. These are the things that we should be talking about, and these are the things that will bring us ultimate freedom. Gary seems to think that that guy that gave him the job, that was like a charity thing, I guess. I believe in demand and supply, and I don't believe that a job, or I don't believe a wage, is a charity from someone. It's because of supply and demand of the actual consumer. But I really would like for us, and if people don't know who Franklin Delano Roosevelt is, then shame on us. We had elected him 4 different times to the presidency. He made transformational change in this country from the Great Depression to what we had up until Reagan. So I just hope that everybody would actually start looking at what it is that's in our best interest.
Hey Tom, let me ask you, because you constantly bring up FDR. I know who FDR is. I know what he did, what he stood for, and many others. But there are many people in this country right now who believe in rugged individualism, which is what Sandy talks about a lot. And so FDR didn't stand for that. And those policies that you are talking about, there are many who believe that's water under the bridge. I'm not one. But how do you get people who like Gary, who called and said, you know, leave the wealthy alone, and there are many others who believe like Gary, how do you get people to say we're going to go back to, you know, those times?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I believe in rugged individualism. I also believe, as a small business owner, I believe in return on investment. I actually believe in investing in our country because I do believe that we, the people, all of us collectively, are the government. Rather than having, a dear savior, or having someone come in that's going to be the savior for all of us, it's we, the people. I think FDR kind of believed in, he didn't believe in just giving, you know, welfare queens money. He didn't believe in giving billionaires like Elon Musk, who is truly a welfare queen, all the money that he gets to run the different companies that he does. I would say that when you have the WPA system and you make the government the employee of last resort, if the private sector can't provide someone a job, that person just doesn't sit at home on the couch, but that person actually gets hired by the government to go fill a pothole or go does things that actually develop energy, so therefore we have a successful country. I do believe, you know, when you give money, as an example, to education, you're doing that not because you're being rugged individualism. You want freedom. Freedom is the freedom for all of us.
Hey, Tom, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go back to Gary from Sussex. Yes, we didn't give him a chance to finish his thought. Quickly, Gary.
Yeah, okay. Tom's a good guy.
I don't want to talk about Tom. What are your thoughts?
Tom had it totally wrong. I did not get a charity job. I went in there, made out an application. There were 30 people looking for a job. Wait a minute. No, let me finish. So I went in there and I said, you hire me and I will learn and I will work hard.
Hey, Gary, all of us did that. Hey, Gary, all of us. You didn't do anything different than any of the rest of us, okay? So what's your point? You support the wealthy, the rich man. You don't think the rich man should be taxed.
Well, my point, Gary, in response to you simply was that back then that person who was viewed as wealthy by you, who had a successful business that was able to employ you, lived in a tax environment that was far different than the current tax environment and still was thriving. And we did have a thriving economy until we had runaway inflation in the last part of that those years. But you know, I was simply responding and to your notion that we have to be so very careful about the taxing on the wealthy, because I think you've said this before and CJ has, these people will leave the country or whatever. And my view is that these people, just like that person who employed you in the 70s, is a patriot who realizes what the American economy has provided them, and they aren't going to leave the country. And they currently have a tax structure that is the lowest tax rate that the United States has had since World War II.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. We're definitely going to get to immigration and, you know, the fact that what would happen if Donald Trump was able to get his wish and the instant deportation of tens of millions of Americans. What would that look like to you and I on the Earl Ingram Show? It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays is my co-host.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW. This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin healthcare organizations say they're seeing an increase in the amount of unpaid medical care for the first time since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the Wisconsin Hospital Association's annual report, the amount of uncompensated care has jumped by 6% in the last year to a total of over $1.3 billion. The increase in unpaid care comes from an increase in the number of patients who are unable to pay for the care they've received and an increase in charity care, which hospitals can write off through taxes. Mark Murphy will be the 171st person to join the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. The president and CEO of the organization is retiring and stepping down in July of 2025 when he turns 70, as required by the Packers bylaws. Murphy has been with the Packers for 17 years, and in that time, the team has made 12 playoff appearances and completed a Super Bowl win over the Steelers in 2011. Murphy will be inducted into the Hall of Fame in August. The Oshkosh Area Humane Society is full for fall, and they need adopters and foster families to help their animals. Executive Director Yava Engel.
We not only do we have a lot of animals here, there are a lot of animals on our wait list as well that are waiting to be surrendered. Adoptions have been slow. We have a lot of cats. We have a lot of dogs and small mammals too. We have some rabbits and we have some guinea pigs. We can use all kinds of adopters.
Visit OAHS.org to see the available dogs, cats, small mammals, and birds. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Beauty in Black is Tyler Perry's new hit show. Although the show debuted to lukewarm reviews at under 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, viewers don't seem to care. The show nabbed 8.6 million viewers. If you're doing the math, that's 15.2 million eyes. Perry said he was excited the show is pulling in viewers worldwide to contrast criticism that Black entertainment does not have global appeal. He says Netflix has repeatedly proven it does. Speaking of Netflix, the streamer says 60 million households watched the highly touted, meaningless snooze fest referred to often as the Jake Paul Mike Tyson bout last Friday night. The 58-year-old Tyson lost an actual nail biter as he seemed to be trying to chew through his gloves most of the fight. Anyone who bet that Tyson's elderly legs would go after six punches cleaned up. Netflix says they wanted the broadcast to be a spectacle, and it was. If you like watching your TV buffer all night, just an awful event all the way around for fight and entertainment fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy and drizzly with scattered showers this morning. It's also going to be kind of windy today with a high of 58 this afternoon. Tonight, 38. Tomorrow, some rain showers, then light snow showers with a high right around 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Brr, the weather is getting chilly, so come warm up indoors at Heights Pub & Parlor, located at 217 North Washington Street in downtown Green Bay, and enjoy a relaxing atmosphere, friendly service, and delicious food. Grab a signature panini or prime Angus burger for lunch, have dinner with friends and a featured entree, or stop by for after-work drinks during happy hour. And don't forget to book your holiday party or special event in our private upstairs parlor, as 2024 dates are filling fast. Like and follow us on Facebook or head to heightsgb.com to learn more.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll invite our old friend and colleague Luke Mathers for Tuesday Tangents with Luke and a report on Wisconsin basketball. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
sang, danced, and clapped their hands. Well, just because the record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. But you can tell right away in Dr. A when the people start to move. They can feel it all over. They can feel it all over, people. They can feel it all over. They can feel it all over, people.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we are talking and have been talking a lot about the issues that impact and affect the lives of, you know, the marginalized in this country. And, you know, have we spent an inordinate amount of time on it today? I don't think so. I think if you're one of those people, and as Sandy stated, 42 million or more, and most of them are children and the elderly who struggle and live, you know, in poverty in this nation is something that needs to be talked about more, not less. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
Good morning. I thought you were going to talk about immigration.
Yeah, we are.
I had a conversation recently with some of my relatives who happened to be Choctaw Apache. I called them down in Florida, and we talked about celebrating Thanksgiving. I want to know, why do we celebrate Thanksgiving based upon the history of people coming to this country, mostly criminals, and stealing the land and killing off as many of the Native Americans as possible, and then enslaving Africans and bringing them here? Why are we celebrating Thanksgiving? How come we aren't exporting some of these people who came here and stole everything and killed all these people?
Well, you know, Al, it clearly, the history of our nation is checkered and some horrible, horrible realities. It's part of the reason why some want to do away with the history of our nation, because they want to act as if those things didn't exist. And so, you know, it's going to continue to. Now, I don't see any of that changing at any point in time, Sandy.
Well, you know, we do. When we took history back in the 50s, this was all glossed over, and so we didn't learn directly, so clearly, what it was that was ongoing. Michael Moore, who's always got succinct things to say, was quoted yesterday as talking about the doozies that we've committed in our history, like the, you know, and he described it as the genocide of 20 million Native Americans and the kidnapping of 12 million Africans to bring them over to work in enslavement in the United States, and the wars that we've had, in which we've killed Vietnam War, 4 million Asians died, and for a purpose that we've had never been able to define. And so, you know, but when we talk like this, there are those who would say we're liberals who hate our country, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. But it is a recognition of things that went on in the past, which is simply factual, right? But this is all part of what this last election was about, because a bunch of the war about DEI and critical race theory was really trying to turn our back on even discussing this kind of stuff, because there was a fear that would have put a dent, I guess, in patriotism. But my own personal view is it's not unpatriotic to simply talk about the facts and say, look, we're going to be better tomorrow than we were, a century ago.
Al?
Technically, Sandy, we've not gotten better in 200 years. We've gotten worse because we continue to do this, and it gets even worse, and the wealthy are the ones behind it. But I'm saying, let's not export or send people back who happen to be brown. Let's send back all of those who were ancestrally of those people who came and did this in the first place. Let's get them out of this country. Send them back where they came from.
That's a good counterpoint.
Thank you very much for the call. Let me go here, Sandy, and it's time. The immigration plan that Donald Trump says and has promised people that he was going to, you know, get rid of all of these. He talked in mass immigration numbers.
Well, he did, and you know, he did always qualify it by saying he was going to export criminals, okay? So that meant it was a smaller number than everyone, I guess. But he does continue to talk about, and yesterday validated someone else's posting, in which the posting was that there would be a call-up of the military to intervene on behalf of the exportation of these immigrants to assist in the process. And apparently Donald Trump made a posting that said true, that he was going to declare a state of national emergency that would permit him to call up the military and use them for that purpose. So you don't call up the military unless it's a big dragnet, not a small one. So, you know, I'm very concerned. And actually, much of the financial community is concerned because there are large parts of our economy that have become very dependent on the people who have immigrated to this country, are not yet citizens, and might be subject to this deportation policy, like many of the agricultural workers here in Wisconsin and across the country, and many of the part-time workers all across the country. So, you know, and the sociological situation that would be created by this process promises to be very disruptive and quite troubling. So, you know, I think we have to hold our breath, but I hope that there are people who can cause this to be carried out, if it's carried out, in a manner that is humane and socially acceptable and not as disruptive to both our society and our economy as it promises to be.
You know, Sandy, many of those people are invisible. We don't see them.
Right.
But they are as critical a part of our economy as anybody is. And that's all baked into our economy. So even though people say, well, you got all these illegal people in here and it's time for them to go, you're not going to realize that until your hotel rooms aren't clean.
Well, I think we should understand.
And your restaurants.
That a big reason all these people are here is that our economy was interested in them coming
being here.
Sucking them up into the economy and putting them to use in the ways that the economy required. And so this has been a bit of a two-way street, and there is no question that a portion that is material of our GDP growth has been dependent on these immigrants who have come to this country and have been deployed in the manner that they've been deployed in the economy. So while it was made a very simplistic issue in the election process and the campaigning process, it is far from a simplistic process, and it is a very troubling process from both an economic and a sociological standpoint. And the notion that the military would be rounding people up in this country remains horrifying.
You know, Sandy, many of these people have been incorporated into our society. Many of those people do landscaping. They do drywalling. They do roofing. They do many different aspects of jobs in this society that are necessary, and that there aren't enough. Many of them come here with trades skills, Sandy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're not all coming here unskilled and just able to wash dishes. Many of them are highly skilled. And so, and they have incorporated into our society and are making a major difference in our society. To say that, you know, they're illegal and we are going to do away with them, it's easy for Americans, those who support that, to clap and say, great, Trump is going to purge us of all of those things. But I don't think they've given any real thought to the impact of what that would actually mean.
Well, and the other thing is that what we really need to address is the process going forward to permit legal immigration into this country on a basis that is consistent with what the needs of the country are, what the interests of the country are, what the values of the country are. And we seem to have a Washington which forever seems to ignore that process. What is the need? What is the funding for, and what is the design of the process going forward that will support immigration into this country in an orderly fashion? And exporting, you know, deporting millions of people is not going to solve that problem.
Build that wall. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Oh, hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I just have 2 points to make, if I have time to make them.
Go ahead.
The first one regarding your conversation on the budget. I, as you know, was a reluctant Trump voter. And as someone who is, who leans.
You should turn your radio down. You should turn your radio down. All right.
Oh, and their policies. Okay. Is that better?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, and their policies. Sandy, my question to you would be this. You cannot balance the budget or cover the deficit or reduce it clearly on tax cuts, on raising taxes alone. There has to be some cuts to programs. And what I found a little disingenuous about Kamala Harris and her campaign is that she kept insisting that this can be done purely by raising taxes, and it can't. We have to cut programs. What programs will you cut to save money? And my second question regarding immigration, I'm going to age myself here a little bit, but I recall during the Bill Clinton administration when NAFTA was passed in the 1990s. NAFTA was passed with the promise to the American people that if we allow this trade agreement, then we will build up the economy of Mexico, and Mexican nationals will no longer need to immigrate to the United States. That was the social contract that was made with the American people. But we did not do anything in our policies to prevent Mexican nationals from continuing to immigrate to the United States. So for people like me who recall this history, I just want some input or some reaction from Sandy, because that was the social contract that our government made to us.
Well, it was bipartisan, first off. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, it was part of the discussion of NAFTA. Another part of the discussion was that it would improve the economies of both countries and all of the countries involved, including the United States. And it's not at all clear that that wasn't true, that the GDP growth wasn't accelerated to some extent by the NAFTA agreement and the principles of it. But it's also true that NAFTA is not really the source of the outplacement of jobs at anywhere near the same level as was the World Trade Organization agreement to allow China into the WTO. It's far more complicated than a short answer. But we need to solve the border problem, and it doesn't do much good to rehash NAFTA.
All right, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We're going to continue the conversation. You're tuned into The Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A lot of financial chatter is focused on the stock market. Is it up? Is it down? Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? The Dow just hit a record high. But how much should people like me and you really care about these daily updates? The answer? Not very much. Most of those daily highs and lows come from small-scale events that just don't mean that much to the broader U.S. economy. And the stock market is not the economy. For most of us, long-term growth is what really matters for retirement. Now, if you are one of the richest 10% of Americans who own 93% of all the stock, you can ignore this message. But for the rest of us, we're going to get more done by keeping an eye on our spending and savings than we are by paying attention to Wall Street. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go right back to the phone lines quickly. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Yeah, I have a question for you, Earl, and for Sandy. Do you think with Trump getting into the office of presidency, he will have any guardrails, or is the system so watered down now we're going to end up with a kingdom or an anarchy? What do you guys think? Based on your knowledge, I'll hang up.
Well, let me answer quickly, and then you can go to the guy who really knows, Sandy. I just, for the life of me, can't understand how our nation has gotten into this position, Sandy, where after all these, you know, centuries, one man can upend all of what our nation supposedly stands for. And all of those different tenets of what our nation was built on, that one man could usurp all of that. But we're faced with that, and it's happening.
Yeah, I think it's a person with extreme will who demonstrates the ability to carry out recriminations that has the chilling effect on opposition. He did it, the movement. I mean, I think he learned it from the Tea Party in terms of being very strident about threatening and then carrying through on threats to primary people out of office. He scared incumbents for whom being in office is more important than moral principles or policy implementation. And so he ended up taking control of the Republican Party. And then through this powerful personality, this capacity to threaten and to carry out on threats, I think he's accomplished a great deal in terms of controlling the media. I mean, we had Morning Joe, right?
Yes.
Supplicate.
Kissing his ring.
And you can tell they're doing it because of their job, right? They're worried
right.
about the power he has to essentially ruin them financially. And that kind of wielding of power has a great deal of capacity to chill the kind of guardrails that might otherwise exist. Furthermore, he's hell-bent, obviously, on selecting people over whom he has the power of selection to select people who will not be guardrails because he finds guardrails altogether inconvenient, and he showed that in his last administration. So I am very worried about that. I think the U.S. Senate continues to have at least 9 or 10 Republicans who have the potential themselves to be guardrails, and And so, you know, I think that this is not going to be unfettered and it's not going to be smooth, but I think it is going to be ugly.
Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Tom, quickly.
My good friend Bill is on Social Security. He has stage 3 cancer, and he gets about $1,100 a month in Social Security. He gets about $180 a month in food stamps. And CJ is saying that we need to balance the budget on the backs of people like him, which just sets me into orbit. CJ never mentions about corporate profits in the billions of dollars every quarter, you know, and that the those corporations are the ones who are bleeding us to death. And I kind of believe that that is all by design so Trump could get back in, because he will give them all the tax cuts they need. And they're talking about where else to cut. Oh, let's cut Social Security. Let's cut social programs. Why don't we cut the military? We can't even budget the military or audit it, because it is so big. And we give them trillions of dollars. They ask for $10 trillion, and the Congress says, well, we'll give you $12 trillion instead. You know, why don't we look at that before we start cutting programs on the backs of the poor?
Hey, Tom, I agree with you totally, man. I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Before we get out of here, Sandy, you know, every day we're going to have the Politrickster of the week, and none other than Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Or of the day.
Of the day. And none other than Marjorie Taylor Greene gets the cut for today. She wants a national divorce from those who criticize her and Donald Trump. And she kind of wants the blue states and the Republican states and the red states to
separate.
Yeah, didn't we have that before?
Yeah, I think that was yeah.
It didn't go too well, did it?
No. Yeah, and well, Marjorie Taylor Greene is definitely low-hanging fruit. I suspect she could be a repeat performer in this category, because she's kind of daily. And I think she now has claimed that she should no longer be considered on the fringe because Donald Trump was elected. And so, you know, maybe she's right, but I hope that the people all who elected Donald Trump would not line up behind Marjorie Taylor Greene.
So listen to this. The Georgia Congresswoman criticism comes amid reports of Democratic governors taking measures to protect their states against Trump policies. If Democrat governors plan to commit treason against our president and a majority of the Americans, then let them destroy their own state, she wrote. No one will want to live there. And after years of being attacked by the deranged left, most of us are so sick of their bleep.
Yeah. Well, you know, the version of treason has now become... the test of treason seems to be whether you voice disagreement with government policies as being treasonous, which I would tell you is about as repressive as any regime could be. We talk about the Chinese government being repressive, but this concept sounds extremely repressive and dangerous.
All right. Thank you, Sandy, as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Mattinier, Greg Bach Mattinier on air. Enjoy this warm weather. Tomorrow it all changes.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we'll go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, how will Trump fund the cost of his tax cuts? And the new transportation secretary from Wisconsin and Fox News. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. The Dom Selvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.